One, we are told that God is our refuge. Number two, we are told he's our fortress. And then we are told that he's a deliverer. And we are told what he can deliver us from. So we have names of God and what he's able to do. Number three, the observation is I saw invisible things there. The Bible talks about the arrows, terrors by night, and arrows that fly by day. Pestilence in darkness. We may not see them with our eyes, but they're actually there. And because of divine protection, therefore, we do not experience these things. My prayer is that none of us shall walk away from the secret place. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Mention something about the secret place of the Most High God. The Bible tells us in Job chapter 20, verse 26.
See, I'm not hearing you.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want to contribute about the secret place of the Most High God. In the secret place of the Most High God, there is security, as we have already heard. In Job chapter 20, verse 26, Job chapter 20, verse 26 says, all darkness shall be hide, shall be hid in the secret places. A fire not blown shall consume him. He shall go ill the thing that is left in his tabernacle. This is telling us how powerful this secret place is. Whatever it is, darkness, any form of thing that may be around, when one runs into the fortress, the secret place of the Most High, darkness must disappear.
Yeah.
It's like I wrote here, divine security is the secret place of the Most High. And if there is anything at all anybody should desire in life, because of the problem in this world is too much, one should desire just to be in this secret place. And in the secret place of the Most High, there will be perfect contentment.
Amen.
Because you won't be looking for, you won't need to rack your brain on where to eat, where to go, because there will be direction, there will be divine compass, God will guide you, and you will just live a peaceful life. I pray God will keep us in a secret place in the Most High.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We are looking at Psalm 91. We have asked to actually read from verse 1 to 11. But I'll be talking only on verse 1. I wrote a book on Psalm 91 several years ago. I'm sure if we check with CRM Bookshop, we'll probably find it there. Because Psalm 91 is not something you finish in a day. It says that he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. For you to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, first of all, you must know that there is someone called the Most High. Mm-hmm. Then you must know that he has a secret place. Because if you don't know that there's a secret place or where the secret place is, you can't go and dwell there. For you to abide in the shadow of the Almighty, you have to know there's someone called the Almighty. You have to know that he has a shadow. You have to know where the shadow is. That's just the little bit we want to look at this morning. And then, of course, we want to know what is the meaning of dwell. We want to know the meaning of abide. There is someone called the Most High. And how can we say someone is the Most High? The Most High must be someone who is higher than all others. Higher than the highest. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 8. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 8. Calls him the one who is higher than the highest. Why is he higher than the highest? Because Isaiah 66, verse 1. Isaiah 66 verse 1 tells us that heaven is his throne. So his throne is higher than the throne of any king or any president. His own throne is in heaven. Isaiah 66 verse 1. And the earth is his footstool. That means the throne of all other kings are under his feet. That's how high he is. And this one called the Most High is none other than Jesus. Why? Because Philippians chapter 2, from verse 9 to 11, Philippians 2, 9 to 11, says he has a name that is above every other name. That at his name, all knees should bow. So there is someone called the Most High. His name is Jesus. He has a secret place. A secret place where he hides his own in the time of trouble. Psalm 27, verse 5. Psalm 27 verse 5 says, in the time of trouble, he will hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. Now, if God the place secret, that means, just like someone pointed out, not everybody knows where it is. Psalm 25 verse 14, Psalm 25 verse 14 makes it clear that the Lord has secrets. But that these secrets are with those who fear him. They are secrets. In Mark chapter 4, verse 10 to 12, Mark 4, 10 to 12, Jesus told the disciples, to you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to them, it's not so given. That means there are certain things that are available to those who are God's followers alone. Things known to those who fear him. And where is this secret place? Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10. Proverbs 18, verse 10. A place is not a location, it's a name. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is saved. And I'm sure you know that name. The name of Jesus. So the Most High is Jesus. His secret place is his name. So that you can go with it everywhere you go, like you are in the air and there's about to be a crash. You can't jump from the plane into the vestry. Go and pray. But the name is there with you. You can call on the name anywhere and you run into it and you'll be saved. Now, to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, you need to know there is someone called the Almighty. To be almighty is to have all might. Almighty is a combination of two words, all and mighty. And to be almighty means you are able to do absolutely anything. Jeremiah 32, verse 27. Jeremiah 32, verse 27, behold, I am the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Luke chapter 1, verse 37, Luke 1, verse 37 says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. To be almighty means to be unlimited. Unlimited in power. Isaiah chapter 40, from verse 20 to 31, Isaiah 40, 20 to 31 tells us that there is someone who is never tired, who is never weary, the one that you can't even search his understanding. He is unlimited. To be almighty, therefore, means you don't need to rest. You don't need to sleep. Psalm 121, verse 1 to 4. Psalm 121, from verse 1 to 4. The Bible tells us that the wise man called David said, I will lift up my eyes unto the east, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, who makes the heaven and the earth. And he says, he that keeps Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. Never has to do. He has all powers. Interestingly, the one who is called the Almighty is also called Jesus. Because in Matthew 28, reading from verse 18, Matthew 28 from verse 18. You can read it all the way to 20. That he says clearly, all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Now the Almighty has a shadow. And if you want to know what the shadow of the Almighty is, then you want to check some 17 verse 8. Psalm 17 verse 8. David was praying and he said, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. How do you keep the apple of the eye? When trouble is coming, one of the quickest ways you can protect your eyeballs is to cover it with your eyelids. And he's referring to the eyelids now when he's talking about feathers, talking about wings in Psalm 91 verse 4. Psalm 91 verse 4 says, under his wings shalt thou trust. And that shadow is also a name. Psalm 121, verse 5. Psalm 121, verse 5. The Lord is thy keeper. Amen. The Lord is your shade or shadow. Amen. At your right hand. And of course, we know who the Lord is. Jesus. So you find that the four things, the Most High, the secret place, the Almighty, the shadow, are all included in just one name, Jesus. Now I could tell you stories to illustrate all four, but this is supposed to be a quick Bible study. But I'll tell you only one. Through the story before, some of you had it. There were three fishes. We call them fishes because they are different species in the ocean, being harassed by a shark, mother shark and baby shark. So one day, the three fishes called a prayer meeting and invited the Lord to come down. And the Lord came and said, yes, what can I do for you? The first one said, I want eyes all over my body. And I said, what do you need all these eyes for? So I can see the sharks long before they can get near me. I can swim away and escape. The second one said, what I want is a pair of wings so that when these sharks are coming, I can fly out of the water and they can fly. Lord said, okay, the third one, what do you want? The third one says, all I want is that wherever I go, you go with me. And the Lord left. And immediately all the scales on the body of the first fish became eyes. The second fish developed a pair of strong wings. And the third one remained ordinary, just like before. Soon the mother shark and the baby shark were hunting, and they saw the fish with many eyes. Ah, what a beautiful fish. So they went after it, and he saw them before they could come near. So he swam towards the beach. And away on the beach, there was a little pool of water. And he made one big leap and landed in the pool of water and began to laugh at the way at the shark and the baby shark, because they couldn't come near him. But soon the sun rose and the little pool of water dried up and the fish with many eyes died. When the mother shark and the baby shark found that they've lost the first fish, they turned around and they saw the second fish, the one with wings, and went after it. That one just flew out of the water and began to laugh at them. I said, come and get me in there if you can. But soon an eagle was flying overhead and he saw a fish flying. I said, oh Lord, I had always wanted to eat fish, only I can't swim. Now you brought one to me in my domain. So the second fish ended in the tummy of an eagle. Then the baby shark turned to the mother and said, but there is a third one, and this one doesn't seem to be even afraid of us. Let's go and get it. And the mother shark said to the baby shark, are you blind? Can't you see that wherever this little fish is going, there's the shadow of a man following him? You go after that fish, the man whose shadow you see will kill you. I hope the point is clear.
Yes, sir.
The Lord is your shadow.
Amen.
On your right hand.
Amen.
And that brings us to the point that knowledge is crucial. If you don't know there is a Most High, if you don't know that he has a secret place, you don't know there's the Almighty, you don't know that he has a shadow, all the benefits listed down there cannot be yours. Because if you don't know these things exist, you can't make use of them. That's why God said in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, Hosea 4 verse 6, he said, my people, not strangers, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There are Christians who see suffer destruction because they lack knowledge. There are Christians who suffer sicknesses that can be traced to fear and anxiety because they lack knowledge. They lack knowledge of the secret place. They lack knowledge of the shadow. They lack knowledge of the tremendous divine insurance embedded in the single name Jesus. There are Christians, they find it difficult to pronounce the name. There are Christians who, if all of a sudden they are traveling at high speed and the tire of their car should burst, instead of shouting, Jesus, they probably shout, yay. Whereas Daniel 11:32 says, those who do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So you can understand Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 10, Philippians 3, 7 to 10, why Paul, the apostle, said, I forsook everything just to pursue one thing. I want to know him. It is he who knows him that the Bible can talk about and say, God performed special miracles by the hand of Paul. Acts 19, verses 11 and 12. Acts 19, 11 and 12. There were other apostles. A miracle is something special. It's a special intervention of God. For the Bible to say God performs special miracles by the hand of Paul means Paul knew him a little more than the others. Oh, I wish that we would know him for who he is. Now, what do we mean by the word dwell? When I say I dwell in a place, it means that's where I live, that's where I sleep, that's where I wake up, that's where I eat, that's where I drink, that's where I breathe, etc., etc. That's why I do my all. I don't dwell in Intercontinental Hotel. I'm here for just a few days. Beautiful as it is, when Friday comes, I will go back to my dwelling. When I get to my dwelling, I can spread my wings, I can do what I like, I can dress the way I like. When you are in your dwelling, you are in your original habitation. Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, Acts 17, verse 28. In him we live and move and have our being. And he's talking about Jesus Christ. He's talking about the Most High. He's talking about the Almighty. He said, when I say I dwell in him, it means when I breathe Jesus. When I think Jesus. When I wake up, it is Jesus. When I'm sleeping, it is Jesus. It becomes so natural just to think about Jesus. I remember a couple of years ago, we went to somewhere in the UK for a program, and as is my custom, early in the morning, I went for a walk. When I was returning, I saw a shop where they said they were having sales, shoe sales, fantastic discounts. So I branched, and I was checking the shoe. The store owner came near me and was trying to show me the one with the biggest discounts. All of a sudden, he stopped. He said, "You are singing." He said, "That must be good." I didn't even know I was singing. I was in the shoe shop. But the song that I was singing while I was on my walk was still coming out. He said, "You are singing. That must be good." I said, "You bet." When you dwell in him, it doesn't matter where you are, he will be oozing out of you. And then what does it mean to abide? To abide means to be almost inseparably connected. When we say abide with me, we mean just stay with me. Let there be no gap between us. Let there be no crack between you and I. Remember the story of Moses when he was running from Pharaoh, and he got to a place and then met the daughter of Jethro, met him there. He helped them roll away the stone from the well, etc., etc. When they took him to the father said, "Abide with us. Stop running. Don't go anywhere else. Stay here." And he abode and got married and got children. I was with them for 40 years until God said, "You have to go and abide elsewhere." How do I abide? Simple. Best of the same feather flock together. Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Amos 3, verse 3. Can two walk together except if they agreed? How do I abide then with the one who is called the Most High, the Almighty? How do I become as precious to him as the apple of his eye? 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 15 to 16, 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16. "As he who has called you is holy, be ye therefore holy in all your manner of conversations, for it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" So why is it that some of us sing holiness as a song? Why is it that we breathe it? That's why is it that we can't finish any discussion without coming around to that? Because we are abiding. And we want others to abide too. Because as long as we are abiding, you are forever secure. So the question or the prayer this morning then would be, Lord, help me to abide. Help me to dwell. Help me to live and move and have my being in you. Help me to be holy all the days of my life. Shall we pray? Let's begin to bring our prayers to a close. Even as we include in our prayers that God will do mighty things in Russia during this week. Mighty things that only the Almighty can do. Miracles that nobody can deny. Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
Amen.
Our Father and our God, we are saying good morning to you once again. Thank you for watching over us while we slept. Thank you for giving us yet another day. Thank you for the journey mercies of yesterday. Thank you for journey mercies for all your children who will be traveling this week. Father, please accept our thanks in Jesus'
name. Amen.
Father, we pray that you open our eyes so we know more of your secrets and we will dwell in them and abide in you. We pray, Lord God Almighty, that the grace to live holy so that we can constantly abide with you, you will give to us in Jesus' name. And we pray that those of us who are already abiding in you, nothing will separate us from you in Jesus'
name. Amen.
Father, we pray that you will breathe on us today.
Amen.
And give us new strength.
Amen.
We pray that this week, here in Russia, you will do something mighty.
Amen.
Something that will prove to the world that truly you are the Almighty.
Yes.
We pray that every one of us will receive at least something special, a miracle special, that we will never forget in Jesus'
name.
Let this day be a glorious day.
Amen.
And all over the world, please send help to your children.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Terror of ages, we just come before your presence saying thank you.
Thank you.